ho, 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 and a merry mass consumerist type December to all you people who celebrate. The Running Won't Save You podcast is proudly sponsored by Innovate. And this December, that being December 2020, or this December, those wonderful creatures at Innovate are giving us a pair of trail talons to gift to you, the listener, in exchange for absolutely nothing except your email address. I've been an Innovate athlete for over 3 years, and I love all of their kit. It's amazing. I'm going to be using it on the Winter Downs 200. I've used it on very many of my big ultras. All of it is hard wearing. It is good for the environment, it's made well, and it lasts. But the trail talons are possibly one of the best things they've ever made. They're like a hybrid baby of the trail fly and the mud talon. However, on the website, they actually say they're an evolution of the hugely popular Rocklite range, which I also really liked. So the trail talon is a shoe that you would use to move quickly over softer ground. It's got a graphene-infused rubber outsole, giving it uncompromising grip on soft surfaces such as mud, but also slippery woodland trails and hard rocky ground and skiddy grass. Inspired by the hoof pattern of the mountain goat, the trail talon has 6mm cleats that firmly grip onto the toughest of surfaces. The multi-directional cleats allow the shoe to release the ground just as quickly, propelling you onto your next stride. I love these shoes. They are comfy and they're cushioned and they're amazing. And like I say, you can win a pair. All you need to do is go to the Instagram Running Won't Save You pod page and enter the competition on the link. You can also get 15% off with the code. I'm not going to tell you what the code is. The code is also on the Instagram page. So go to Instagram, Running Won't Save You Pod, get the code, go and buy yourself some nice Chrissy presents. 15% off, that's quite a lot. Anyway, enjoy the pod. There is some swearing, there is some language, there is some immaturity, but there is also some big lessons about consistency. So let's fucking go, shall we? Welcome to episode 4 of season 1 of the Running Won't Save You podcast with your hosts, Ali Bailey.
Oh, and Holly.
Oh, what's that sound? It sounds like seasonal bells.
Is it? Merry Christmas.
Oh, okay.
And Happy New Year to you all.
Merry, merry non-denominational bullshit fest to those that celebrate, and Happy New Year to all. What does Christmas look like in the stables household? Paint us a picture.
Yesterday obviously had the seasonal rush to the vets with a dog.
I love that. On the second day of Christmas.
Yes,
every seasonal rush to the dogs.
Every religious religious time of the year, let's say Christmas, Easter, etc., for people that celebrate those things, Lemmy decides to either ingest something he shouldn't have done, fall over and hit his head.
He's a dog. Yeah. Sounds like a 30-year-old man.
I'll be honest, I have no idea what he did yesterday. We went for a nice walk to the fields. He ran around. It's not anywhere new. It's a place that we go all the time. And that's him in the background throwing a ball around. So he's completely fine now, obviously. But he came back and he was just really weird. And I thought he'd eaten something, because normally he does eat really disgusting things. And that can be an issue with him. I'm actually thinking about getting one of those like fabric muzzles put on him the whole time to stop him.
Then he'll look like a fucking COVID person.
I know, or he'll look like a COVID dog, or he'll look like a, you know, like, oh God, he's one of those dogs that attacks people. It's like, no, he doesn't attack you, he attacks your food.
And your shit. Anything that comes out of any orifice. But Lemmy,
sorry, this is a warning to anyone having their breakfast, lunch, or dinner, or just anything really. Lemmy likes to eat shit, mainly human shit. And he seems to, he has got like, we call it the shit nose. He can sniff out poo anywhere. And so you have to keep your wits about you, because he's got a beard as well. And when he gets that poo, it is everywhere. It is so gross. It stinks. And it's all in his mouth.
How do you get it off?
Like, well, this is the thing. I get him straight home. I shot him in the backyard and I basically power hose his face, which he hates. And he was like, I remember people saying like, oh, well, he won't do that again. I'm like, he will. He won't. He forgets that easily that he's going to be power hosed in the face. But so I thought yesterday maybe that's what happened, because he was really weird when he got back. But then I noticed it was actually more his like back legs. And I was like, oh, great. He's like snapped his spinal cord or something. It's going to cost me £5 billion. He's going to have to be put in a dog wheelchair, blah blah blah.
No,
yeah,
dog,
no,
wheelchair.
Really sorry and sad for himself. So I quickly, the vets are literally like a 3-minute walk from my house, so I just took him down there to see like if they could just do his temperature and stuff. Obviously that cost me £60 for 10 minutes for them to stick a thing up his bum hole. And
So
Rick's come out and say, he's completely fine.
he's been waterboarded. He's having someone stuck up his ass, and he still he goes back for the human shit. Brilliant.
All of that for free. And yeah, and so yeah, so I let him, he slept on my bed last night, so I got probably about 10 minutes sleep, so I feel hanging. And this morning he got up and he's like, oh, I'm fine, I'm absolutely fine, there's nothing wrong with me, there you go. And
Ready
that's
to
what,
go shit sniffing again one more
yeah.
time.
So he's staying on the lead. Last year he ate a massive slab of mincemeat tart that my mother-in-law had made. So he ate that cost us £400 to get his stomach pumped. Easter before, he ate a pack of hot crisp buns that cost another £400. So yeah.
Pickle's not,
Brilliant.
she doesn't steal food ever. She does roll in shit, and she'll roll in human shit, but she doesn't eat it. So she
Oh
knows when she's done it. She comes up to me, she's like, Mum, you're like, yeah, I've made a terrible mistake. What do you mean?
they're like
I've made
flies
it.
all right going
Yeah, she's
around
like,
her.
I've made a terrible mistake. And you're like,
Look,
oh shit. And it's usually on Kinder, or it's always on Kinder, actually. There's
you've
so
got
much
ages
human
to
shit on
go.
Kinder. Yeah. And it's
Yeah.
dry and there's no
Ah!
water. Or like Snowdonia, where there's no water. And it's just, and people are like, oh, your dog's lovely. Don't touch it. Don't touch the fucking dog.
Well, you imagine with Lem, it's like they go up to his face and I'm like, oh, don't go to his beard or his breath because it smells of poo. And the worst is if he does it when we're away in the van because it's quite difficult to wash him. And you don't want a dog in a van covered in human poo. So yeah, it's not a good, it's not a good,
This is great podcasting.
yeah, sorry to start it off. You're saying about Christmas.
Perfect.
What does Christmas look like? It looks like human shit all over the beard.
Yes, it looks like a waterboarded dog in the back garden.
Anyway, he's
How
fine.
has your few weeks been since we last spoke?
Oh yeah, since my exit from my extrication from Asics. Yeah, no, it's been fine actually. I'm still waiting for my bouquet of flowers and goodbye letter card, etc.
You will be
I'm sure it's
waiting
stuck in the
quite
post.
some time.
I
Yeah,
mean,
probably it's Christmas post, probably.
it's only been 6 or 7 weeks anyway. So,
Yeah.
but yeah, no, it's been fine. But I've been moving on, and yeah, making plans for this incredible or incredibly stupid thing I'm doing next year. Which I've just revealed, which I've had to keep
What
up.
is it? What is it?
If anyone on listening to this podcast has heard of, and I'm probably they probably have because it's ultra people, isn't it?
Oh yeah.
It's the Speed Project.
Oh,
Sounds cool,
the
huh?
Speed Project is kind of cloaked in a weird cloak of kind of semi-secrecy, semi-myth. So
Yeah.
explain to the people what the Speed Project is, because quite frankly, it's fucking mental.
It is a secret race, basically. So it's an unsanctioned race, which is it's like the cool thing now. There's quite a few
What
unsanctioned.
does that mean? Does that mean that there's
Basically,
no risk
to
assessment? They
organise,
can't get it insured?
it means that you're on your own, baby. Literally. It means that there's like, yeah, you've got no checkpoints, you've got no markings, you've got like some of the races, people spend an awful lot of money to do, actually.
Isn't that just the spine?
Yeah, I was just literally about to say that. I was looking at some races yesterday to do actually in preparation for this race, and some of them really take the mickey. The amount they charge, but actually there is nothing. So the Speed Project, I think it cost me like I don't know, like $100 or something. But you actually get quite a lot of stuff for that. I can see a pie shadow. Stop it. And yeah, so basically, the Speed Project is it's a race. That an unsanctioned race, it's unsupported, no spectators, that's all its strap line. So it's like underground. And no one knows the date apart from the people who are doing it. So I can't say when it is or what time it starts. But what happens is literally it just flashes up. If you follow the Speed Project, you'll suddenly just get the Speed Projects going live. And it's like you're suddenly at Santa Monica Pier, where
So it's
it's
in
like,
America, that's
yeah,
one
it's
thing.
America. So you start from Los Angeles, Santa Monica, at the seaside. And you run to LA to the famous LA sign on the strip, and that's
Fucking
the
hell. I can't imagine how you're going to feel when you actually get into LA after being in the desert for that long. You're going to have a fucking nervous breakdown.
I won't really know what the hell's going on, I'm
It was
sure.
bad enough going into Farnham on the 200, I'll be honest.
Know. Well, exactly. Well, let's just hope I don't get locked in a car halfway through. It could happen.
Just hope you don't get fucking locked in a car in LA by some sort of man
And the need
child.
of poo as well. There's a lot of poo talk today. Sorry, listeners. That's what you came here for, though,
Right,
right?
so you have to run from Santa Monica to Las Vegas.
Las
Right.
Vegas. And you get there as quick
Seems
as you
easy. There's a
can.
long road. There's one long road, Route 66. Can you just run along that?
You can do that, or you can find a shorter route. And this is the great thing about it. So you basically make your own route. And there's lots of people that have done different routes. There's the OG route, which is the route that, which is basically the road route that Niels, who was the guy that did it a couple of years ago, he basically did it. He's a Dutch guy who lives in LA, and he decided with his friends they were going to run to Las Vegas one weekend, as you do. And they did it, and the way they did it was exactly like 500 kilometers, 340 miles. But since then, people have found shorter routes, and that has been like on the like off-road sections, desert sections, taking shortcuts. And I think the shortest route now, obviously you have to do it on your own 2 feet. You can't be on a bike, although there is a bike version. I think the shortest route that's been found is about 282 miles. But it's like,
Really?
yeah, but is it faster? As in, some of it's over quite, like a lot of sand and the power lines. And so you've got to, it's coming up. And then also some areas you can't get any support on for a long, long period of time. So therefore, is it better to do a slightly longer route where you can get support? So you have to supply your own support crew. Now this is
Basically,
the
listener,
UK.
that part of America is one of the largest deserts, and it
I
is
know.
desert
Yeah.
in the like developed world. And there's
Yeah.
nothing there, is there? I've driven from Vegas to
Yeah, he's a
LA,
baker.
and it is fucking scary. There's some ghost towns, but they're literally ghost towns. There's
Yeah,
one
horrible
petrol
bits.
station, Roy's, and then there's the Salton Sea. And it's
You've
actually
got
quite interesting. It's
Baker and Prim and the towns that you can go through. And you have,
Post-apocalyptic, basically, though, isn't it?
yeah,
It's
there's
not
a
like
lot
there's a
of
fucking there's no 9/11.
no, and there's I think there's an aircraft sort of, where they, what's it called? Like a graveyard. And there's lots of like cars that have been burnt out and shot at. There's loose dogs that can be an issue.
Not
It
for us.
snowed. It snowed this year on Death in Death Valley, but
Oh,
it was bizarre.
perfect.
Then the year before it was roasting hot. So you've got to be prepared for all sorts of weather. And so it's a relay.
Oh,
So
it's a relay.
there's a relay, which is six people. And you have to like you can divide it up as much as you want. Some people, the original guys did it 10K, 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 but listen, the record for the relay is, I think it's around 25 hours. That's
What?
insane. You've got some
For
like
fucking
amazing,
300 miles?
yeah. And these are some of the guys that do it are you've got like ex-Olympian 10,000 meter runners, and what they do is they carve it up almost as they get closer, they do 400s, 200s. They're literally doing like as fast as they can, 400. It's actually really interesting to watch because there's a lot of YouTubes on it, like some serious athletes, and they're absolutely smashing themselves. You've got RVs, so you've got your support crew, that's up to you to organize, and then they get in the van and the next one goes. So it's every couple of miles you're changing.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's insane. However, I'm doing it solo. So there is a group of people who started doing it on their own, and you can do solo supported and you can do solo unsupported. Unsupported
Who the
is
fuck would do so? Didn't James Paul do it on
James
sports?
Paul. Yeah. James has done it. It takes you a lot longer, and obviously he stayed, you could stay at motels along the way. He bivvied in the desert. He stayed in like burnt out cars and stuff. And it's like he did it as like a journey, not a record type thing. But the supported is, yeah, you obviously got to be really careful on highways. You can run next to highways because there's like roads next to it, but obviously you've got to be careful with your crewing because they can follow you the whole way, but they can't hold up traffic or anything. And if you get stopped by the police, you just have to say that you're going for a run with your friends. That is the line that you have to give them.
Brilliant.
I know. So yeah, so that's what I'm doing. So it's a, I'll be honest, it's terrifying thinking I've got to run that far. But I know it sounds weird, that's actually not my biggest concern. The biggest concern for me is logistics. Organizing it all is actually so much bigger than I thought, and the cost of everything.
Have you got a crew then already?
Yeah, I've got a crew set up. It's not a huge crew because I can't afford it.
Yeah, I mean, the cost of are you getting an RV or are you just going to hire a
Got an
van?
RV that sleeps six, like one of those big ones.
Whoa, who's going to drive that?
Pete, hopefully.
Amazing.
Or I've got a pacer, biker. You might know him. He's a bit of an influencer.
Is he a
Yeah.
podcaster? Is he
Yeah.
a podcaster, runfluencer, influencer, inspiration wrangler?
I wouldn't call inspirational, no. And so yeah, I've got
Bobby Windows. Is his name Bobby Windows?
close.
Okay.
And then I've got a really good photographer guy. You may have heard of him.
Oh.
It's not David. Jake the Bee Bagley.
Ooh, yeah, Jake the Bee Bagley. The sexy shots he does. He does almost like his running photos are almost like a Benetton ad. Like they're just really classy.
That's what I'm really hoping. That's why I've got him, because I need all the help I can get. I've asked for as many filters as he can possibly get. And then I've got my good mate, Peter, who's my friend, who's an amazing videographer who lives in Austria, who does like he's done a PCT through hiking. He's done lots and he's made amazing films. And I love his films because they're like really different. So that's what I want him to come. And that's it. Pete.
King, how do you train for something like that when you live in Froom?
Good question. I'll be honest, it's quite similar to your training for the 200. But obviously I need to do more specific. I'll be doing heat training closer to the event. And then and the heat training will literally be wearing down suits and running in the gym. I know.
Gross. Get a sauna in your back garden. Turn your shop office into a sauna.
I'd like to
Few
do that,
big
but
red lights, no problem.
I was spending all my money on this bloody project. And yeah, so I'll be doing that and obviously the strength work. But for me, it's just, and then doing, I'll do a race once, one race a month. I've just booked a race actually for January.
What is it?
My first ever, you're going to laugh, Backyard Ultra.
Oh my God. Which
I
one?
know. It's actually the Limitless one.
Is it?
Yeah, I
Oh.
found it and I was like, I love Elaine's races. They're really good.
Yeah. Our experiment. Gemma was going to do that, but she's actually, this is really great. She's actually pulled out of it because she knows it's not good for her. So she's pulled out of it. I'm really proud of her because
Good
she's
idea.
done a few and she's like, why am I doing this? I don't know why I'm doing it. I
Oh,
can
has
see
she
why.
done
I
a
can
few
fucking.
backyard
Yeah,
ultras?
she has. I
Yeah.
can see why you're doing it. It's a fucking great idea.
Well, I just thought it was a really good idea to practice fueling. I'm not going to be going super fast. It's not a race as such. To be honest, I'm not doing it to be like the last person standing. I'm just doing it as a, I'll just
But
go
the
as far
thing
as.
is, a backyard ultra completely levels the playing field because you can be really fast, but that's not going to
Oh
serve
yeah.
you in a backyard ultra. It's just not. It's about admin, and it's about fueling, and it's about strategy, and it's
Which
about,
is what I'm
well,
shit at.
it's about consistency is what it's about. That's what it all is all about. And that's the same with this though, isn't it? It's like when you're going and doing something this long, it's about consistency in administration. Because if you fuck your admin, eating, feet, head, all of it, sleep, you're
Yeah.
fucked. You can be the fastest runner on earth and you'll still fuck it up.
And some of the fastest people have tried the solo and they've gone off far too fast. Their feet have blown up and they've had to stop.
Oh.
So that's the thing I've got to be really careful with is I've got to be really careful with that. Because it's like actually I don't want to be really I'm not going in there to be really fast. I've got to be really careful. And that's what I'm gonna have to do because I have no idea what's gonna happen after
Have
like
you
4 months.
ever run in that part of the world? Have you ever done anything like
Yeah,
that
I've
hot and,
done
oh, I say hot and hard.
desert.
What I mean is like
Yeah.
bitumen, desert, because actually people will think it's like trail running, but it's not. There's a lot of concrete and the desert's very hard, especially when it's been dry. Like it's like harder than concrete. So,
I've done I ran from Dubai to Oman,
ooh.
which was I and this is the thing, I absolutely hated it. I hate sand. I hate all of that. But this was like proper full-on sand, like desert. So I really hated that, but I can't remember how far that was. That was probably like 240 miles, but like a stage type thing. But yeah, so and obviously stuff in Nepal. I've done all that sort of stuff in Nepal at altitude because it will be up to like normal 1800 meters. I've got to take that into account. Although I'm actually pretty good with stuff like that, and I do love heat. But for my issue is, yeah, I actually want to be. This sounds weird. I want to be on the road as much as possible. I don't really want to be too much off-road purely because the off-road sections you need a 4x4 and I don't have a 4x4. I can't afford that. So I don't want to be on my own for long periods of time where potentially things could go really wrong. Like if it's really, really hot and I did the power line section, which I'm probably not going to do, I'm going to do parts of it. The power line section is 65K and I'd have no one to support. There's nothing there. I can't even get water. So for me, and that's towards the end of the race, that could be really bad. But it will be bad. So yeah, it's there's a lot. I'll be honest. I am waking up in the night a lot, and things are going through my head like, oh, I've got to do this. I've got to do that. I've got to do this. I've got to do that. So it is quite stressful. But I am looking for. I want to do it because it's like it's ridiculous, and I think you need to do ridiculous things
Well,
sometimes
that
to.
was my next question. Why the fuck are you doing it?
And also, I'll say the other reason is because I've been following the speed project. So Niels asked me in 2019, like I think it was the first solo, and I was like, no, that's ridiculous. I would never dream of doing something like that. I'd only just ran UTMB and I'd had a horrific time. So I was like, there's no way I want to do this. And then I followed it along. Like, I'm good friends with James. I followed James's journey and what he's done. And I guess I've been more inspired by some of the people that do it. And I love the whole idea behind the Speed Project, that it is unsanctioned, that it is quite underground. I like that sort of thing. And I also love the different elements, like, so the different temperatures, the different surfaces, the problem solving. And it's like, for me, it'd be really nice to do something that's like, it's not really a race, although I'd be honest, I want to be the first person to get to the Las Vegas sign. Oh, that's what I want to do. I have no idea if that'll happen, but I'm going to give it a go. And
Well, I
that's
know
what I'm
you
going to do.
can't tell us when it is, but have you got a general, can you give us a general gist of how long you've got to train for it?
It's spring.
Spring? Fucking hell, what, spring 2025?
Yeah.
Okay, cool beans.
Exactly. Hence, that's why I'm running as far as I can at weekends. You asked about my training. I basically run on a Saturday, but with an hour of that. With like, so for instance, at the weekend, I did 2 hours, but an hour of that was like quite steady running. So, like, just under 7 minute miling. So,
I
6:50.
mean, I don't think that's steady, but sure.
Yeah. But basically, to like work reasonably hard. And then I eat as much as I can after. And then the next day, I just run as far as I can or want to. So, like, at the moment, I just ran 3 hours on the Sunday. I know it's not that long for you, but I'll still cover a reasonable amount of ground. And then I'm having one day off a week, which I didn't used to do. I would have a day off when I needed it. So Mondays are a complete rest day, which is amazing. And then I do one hard session in the week. It's quite long. So I've just done that this morning, which is like 12 miles of varied pace. That's still and fast pace, like 6 minute mile down pace, with a float recoveries. And then I also do hill strides, like I said, you guys, which are amazing, like 15, 20 second hill strides every week. And that's it. And everything else is just easy miles, you know?
Please, please remember to enjoy it.
Yeah, I know. You're
Please
right.
don't have nightmares. Please enjoy it. It's a
That's
fucking
my
incredible
only
thing.
thing. Yeah,
Even
that's my only thing.
driving that route was one of the greatest adventures of my life, mainly because we nearly ran out of petrol. I didn't know what I was doing. But honestly, it's so incredible because it's like you're running through this desert, then you look up and there's snow-capped mountains. That's how different it is in the
Yeah,
same fucking
it's
bit of
beautiful.
land. But I just think coming into Vegas is going to be the biggest cricket bat smash in the face you could possibly have
I
after
know.
days of being out with nothing. Because on the 200, one of the most jarring bits was coming off that trail with nothing into Alton or into Farnham, where it's Christmas music and everyone's shopping and there's cars everywhere. And you're like, what the fuck? I've forgotten how to cross the road. So it's bad enough that, but God, running into Vegas is going to be something else.
I know, and also I have no idea what time I'm going to get in, whether it's day, night,
Well, it doesn't
whatever.
matter in Vegas.
True, that's true.
It literally doesn't matter.
You just have to get back before the Sunday, where there's a pool party that's put on by the Speed Project.
A pool
And
party. Like, you want to put your fucking feet anywhere near a
you
joint pool.
imagine what the solo runners are going to look like comparatively to the relay runners. Like, I know that already. I've booked a one of those mobility scooters because I think I'm going to need one. I'm going to be going around all the slot machines on a mobility scooter.
Going to be like one of those old women in the fucking MGM Grand at 2 o'clock in the
I
morning
already
doing
am.
on the pokies.
Yeah, I'm gonna be one of them up all night with the oxygen masks and stuff. So yeah, I mean, I'm not hanging around in Vegas, I'll put it that way, but
Please do. That's where the film's going to be made. That's where the film is actually going to be made. It'll be like The Hangover, but literally, like, you've just
you
run
know
here.
what?
It'll be like The fucking Hangover.
There's been a lot of talk about the Hangover, like whether I really want the team to be like dressed up in inflatable dinosaur outfits and maybe have a zebra, not
I've got
zebra,
to say, right, I
giraffe.
always swore I would never go back to Vegas because it upset me so much. I
You wanna
swore I'd
come?
never go back, but I'm very up for coming to meet you at the end of this because I
I'd
just think it would be
love
funny. It would just be funny. It would be worth doing a live podcast right at the end, being just saying,
it.
like, you've got to talk to me for an hour now about what just happened. I think it'd be very, very amusing. And that's exciting. I'm excited for you, but do remember
Let's
to
do it.
enjoy it. I know that sometimes it is like you forget to enjoy it, the process, don't you? And like this week, I've been so fucking miserable, bottom of the barrel depressed, like really, really bad thoughts depressed. And all I've wanted to do is be back out on the Vanguard Way. That's and the thing is, when I was on
The
the Vanguard
Vanguard Way,
Way,
that was
I
the
was like, I
worst
don't want to
bit.
be on the Vanguard Way, but now I just want to live on the Vanguard Way. I just want to be a vagabond on the Vanguard Way because it was easy and it was like, I love this. This is what I do. And now I'm not doing it anymore. And I just feel bereft. And then I'm like, why the fuck do we do this shit to ourselves?
I know. Why is your
doing?
brain so really fucked up? Also, did Damo show you any of the messages I was sending? We were sending each other while you were doing this ridiculous thing.
I have yet to view them, but Hidemo is actually here. Is we're in our holiday cottage. It's Christmas
Well,
Eve here. He's actually gone
you
out for
need.
his run,
Oh,
but
has he?
I need to look at the messages.
Well, because actually, one of them is exactly what you've just said. When you were on the Vanguard Way, he messaged me and he was like, "Yeah, she's getting a bit shitty now." And I was like, "Well, that's normal." And then I was like, "Yeah, but we all know." No, he said there was questions of something like she said she's never going to do this again. I was like, "Yeah, well, we all know within 24 hours she'll have signed up for TDG or something." And he was like, "Yeah, exactly." And I was like, "And here we are."
Yeah, and it's like I don't. I just don't understand. I've been trying to work it out, and
Without
I was actually
amnesia.
talking to Mike from the running show, because Mike was quite interested in doing it, and I'm interested in Mike doing it. But I said to him, "Look, you're gonna have to manage your admin, Mike." I said to him, ultimately, it's you train for months, you put yourself through something that destroys your brain and body for no reason, and then you get really fucking depressed and do it again. Oh, and you pay for it.
Yeah.
That's ultra running. I'm spending a lot of time looking at the why around what it is. But like James Elsa said to me, the alternative for us is much worse. The alternative not doing it is much worse.
Yeah.
And I really loved it. And I did. And honestly, when I look back at the process, like when I look back at the training, I'm like, that was fucking brilliant. Because even though I didn't think I could do a lot of those sessions, I did my best and I did them, and then it paid
Did
off.
do them.
Yeah, I did do them, and it paid off. Like it fucking paid off. Like the fact that. My recovery has been, physical recovery has been incredible. Like, I have no aches, nothing's broken, nothing hurts. It's not even like, oh, my hip flexor is a bit tight. Nothing is tight. I went for a run on Sunday, my freedom run, 4 miles. It was so nice. Felt like I'd been reborn. Went to the beach for a run yesterday, it was fine. Got some little stretchy old lady exercises that Pete's given me to do today.
Yeah, rescued a goat.
I'll do them. Rescued a goat, had a coffee. And that is down to that training process, all of it, isn't
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a combination of lots of things. You can't, yeah, I think the train, yeah, you, I mean, you nailed all the training, you nailed all your lifting. And yeah, I mean, I was thinking about this morning. I mean, I can't even remember when we started working together, but isn't it
we
amazing?
started working together after the Arc of Attrition when finally I gave in and went, I'm
Did you?
shit at this, you need to help me. And you
Well, I
went,
had been badgering you.
hallelujah.
Yeah, I was like, brilliant, let me get my hands on her. And like I said before, I'm sure in this podcast, I was like, I'm not sure how she's going to take this. I'm not sure if she's going to do it and if she'll get it. And it was just like, you just have to program cleverly and you were fooled a little bit into it. And then as you got fooled into it, you ended up doing it. And then it was like, oh, actually, no, this isn't that, it's not that bad and I can do this, which is what you did. And you, I think that's the thing. I think that's the, when we talked about it, consistency, and we are going to talk a little bit about comparison. I think that what happens is you start believing in yourself, and every session, and it's completely normal for every session. Like you always say on your stories, like, "Oh God, this is going to probably be shit. I'll probably be shit, and it'll be rubbish. And what am I doing?"
Every fucking time, without
Everyone thinks that.
fail. Yeah, but the thing is, I think it's all right. It's good to say to people, everyone feels like this. So actually, when you're going out the door, you're like, oh my God, I can't do it. It's like, that's how I should feel. I should feel like I can't do it because I'm just going to do the best that I can do. And that's it. It doesn't mean you stop and go back. It means that you go, oh, okay, I'm showing up for something that I find hard. And that's consistency, isn't it?
It is. And also, after all those sessions and also this race that you just did, I think and I hope what's happened after each of those sessions, when I say, oh, that's banked, that's banked, that's banked, even if it maybe it hasn't gone like some athletes, like it hasn't gone as well as you wanted, but that you can take something out of that, you've got that like memory feedback in your head of all those sessions you've done. And I think it all adds up to make you a better runner, a more capable runner. I think the 200s you've just done, I'm sure now you've got so many memories of certain episodes that when you race again or you do something else hard, you can always look back on that now and go, well, I did that and this is how I felt and I came through it and I did well. You know, like I rallied at the end,
That's the
I
thing,
went into the
right?
podium position, I can do that again.
Towards the end of that race, I was like, oh, fucking hell, I do feel quite knackered. I'm walking quite a lot. But it's okay, I'm going to walk fast. I could do 4 miles an hour of hike. I can. When I went past Eddie, suddenly I was able to run again. And I was able to run 9.5, 10 minute miles.
Yeah, you
And
took an hour without it.
I was running through the woods, and I was like, I literally was saying to myself, I don't know how you're doing this, because it didn't feel bad. I didn't feel like, oh, I'm really pushing myself. It was like, well, this is what you do. It was almost like all those sessions that I'd done, there was part of me that was like, this is what you trained to do, and this is, and you're a different athlete now. And also, Ali, remember, just because there's someone behind you now, you can push forward. You can push forward when there's no one behind you. And that's what I was telling myself. And all the time for the last 30 miles, when I was like, I felt my watch was going backwards, I just kept saying, you're a different athlete now, because I am. And it was, we started working with each other in February, I think, and it's December now, so it's not even been a year. But physically and probably mentally, I was a totally different athlete to the one I was before. So people listening to this that are using apps are fucking great. We like apps, but they're not a human being. And the only way to change your running is to have a human being to talk to who understands your life, and who, when you say, oh, I've just gone out and done a session and I'm on antibiotics, slaps you around the face and says, you don't do sessions on antibiotics. That's why it was shit. Because that's what I did. And now I know not to do sessions when I'm on antibiotics. Like, runner won't tell you that. And that's the difference, isn't it? But I think it is that showing up for yourself, like whether you think you can do it or not, it's just a question of showing up. And with the speed project, again, you don't fucking know. Like, where are you going to train that's anything like what you're about to take on? It's just a
No.
massive adventure, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. And I wouldn't. I'm not going to. It's like training for a marathon. You don't go and run a marathon beforehand to, to see how good you are. Some people do, but you don't need to do that. And it's like when we said, I said to you when we started preparing for the 200. It's like we no one knows how to train for a 200 exactly. There isn't
Because
a.
you can't even go out and do half the distance. I mean, you can go and find a 100-mile race to do, but then you've got to be like, this is a training run, so I'm
To be
doing
fair,
it
it's got nothing to do
differently.
with that 200 though. A 100 mile race has got nothing to do with.
No.
It's just not.
No, a 200 is like 300. So
Yeah.
it's just like, it's you never get to that point. If you're training for 100, you could go out and do some nice back-to-back weekends, chunky, like a 25-mile Saturday,
Yeah.
25-mile Sunday, chunky, chunky, chunky. It's not going to happen with this, is it?
No. I mean, and I think that, like you say, a lot of it is psychological. So you've got to, like you said, you've got to actually enjoy it and be up for it because there's no point going into it already thinking, this is shit. Why am I doing this? Or I'm not really sure why I'm doing it. That is a bad move. You need to do that with every race, really. But with a really, really big one, you've got a fucking load of time to be thinking.
I've started to remember little bits started to come back to me of this fucking race, because it's like a 65 hours in your own head. I remember coming up this slope and it was grey the whole time. It was like just solid grey blue light the whole time. And I was coming up this slope towards Farnham in a field with no marked path, like a ploughed field. And I thought, God, this is like being in The Road. Have you seen the film The Road?
No, I haven't actually.
It's like a post-apocalyptic nightmare land where there's a dad and a son and they're trying to get to the sea because and everyone's died, all the trees are dead. And it's a bit like The Road.
God.
It's like, oh, this is really cool because it's like being in The
What,
Road.
how far were you into it in the race?
About 175 miles.
Ugh.
And I was about to come into a town and I started to get quite scared of towns because they were jarring, because it was lights and
Yeah.
there was cars and people and you were just like,
Yeah.
fucking get out my way. The only good thing about Farnham was there is a Domino's and I managed to get hold of a Domino's. But yeah, it was it's all very interesting stuff, this flashback scenario from the 200s. Tell you
I
what though, I'm
mean,
looking forward to getting back into like proper training. Like I
are
can't
you
excited to get back
good?
into it.
Because what have I said to you that I keep on slipping in, but it seems to be going through. It goes in and then it comes in occasionally, then it goes out again. Like, there was talk of perhaps us doing a 5K or something, wasn't there? But that seems to have been pushed back
No,
months
not at
now.
all. Like, I just like I've got a 75-mile job in February that I really want to do, and then I've got the Spine Challenger North in June. Put it between then. Go and do it then. Selby Park Run.
Yeah.
That.
Yeah. It would be quite good to do it sooner rather than later, but I'll just put that out there for the viewers to
Fine,
decide.
fine. Oh right, the viewers will decide, will they? Perfect.
Yeah, we've got to put
Okay.
a poll up. I think I might put it on Instagram. Everyone vote 5K now.
Vote 5K. Let's get an update from Gemma.
Hi, progress update from the experiment. I did three runs this week. I didn't do my strength work and I didn't do the fourth run, but I'm counting this as a win, just because of how busy I physically was at work. So one of the days I had to prioritize sleep, but I'm also quite pleased with the way that I've handled this. So mentally, I've been all right with the fact that that's all I could do. So I feel that has been a massive win this week.
Right, so that's Gemma's update for this week. But last week, I wanted to talk to you about this because I think it's more relevant to you. Last week, Gemma told us that she went and did a race for like a little, it was fancy dress race. She dressed as Jack Skellington. She won the fancy dress competition. Her fancy dress was incredible.
Oh.
7 miles, had a great time. Everything was great. And then the results came out and she looked at them and she was like, oh. Even though there was no goal, it was just a run with her mates as part of her like consistency 20-mile-a-week plan, right? Gemma's comparison thing is a nightmare. She does it all the time.
Yeah.
Do you find this with your athletes? And I know that we're all going to be like, oh, comparison's a thief of joy, but it's not that easy, is it? It's just not that fucking easy. So how have you got advice on it? Give us your best shot.
Okay, so comparison. I would say actually probably for most of my athletes, the worst thing with comparison is actually they compare themselves to their self maybe before pre-injury. Or are you purposely showing me the picture, your cottage?
No, I'm putting the kettle on.
No. I think the biggest issue with athletes that I coach, yeah, they compare themselves to maybe what they were once were, perhaps what they did pre injury, if they've had an injury, or if they've had a child, or, and I'm the same. That's my biggest issue. It has been my issue. It's not anymore. I compare myself to my old self. My old self, in terms of my road running and stuff, I have to be okay with the fact that I'm never going to get a PB again, because I'm not. I'll never get a PB over 5K, 10K.
Could you just not go and do a race could you not go and do a race where you've never done that distance before?
It's 22K.
Yeah, but it's like, I guess this is the traditionalist in me. It has to be like this. I could do that. But to be honest, it's like, no, I mean, if anything, I compare myself to, I'm kinder to myself. Let's say I'm kinder to myself. I say, look, I am, God, how old am I? I'm 47, I think. Yeah, I'm 47.
47 going on 22.
I know. Well, in mind. Probably not. I think that I sometimes think, actually, I try and like big up myself in this way. Like, I'm 47 and I'm still like doing all right, you know? I'm still winning races. I'm not going to go and do a 5,000 meters on the track because it will be embarrassing for myself and everyone else. But I'm still, it's like, so for instance, today I went out and did my, it was an hour of 3 minutes at 10K effort and then 3 minutes, 45 seconds slower per mile. So it was like an up and over session. So an hour. Now, my 10K effort, bearing in mind as well, I've done it a day early. I should have done it tomorrow, but I don't really want to do it on Christmas morning. I've got that fatigue from running those big miles Saturday, Sunday. I had yesterday off, but normally I'd have another day. Anyway, so I felt the fatigue in my legs. However, I was running my 3 minutes at around 6 minute miling. That, and I felt that was, I really felt like I was really gunning it.
Mm-hmm.
That was my marathon. No, my marathon pace was slightly quicker than that when I was running road marathons. So I could run that for 2 hours 36, 2 hours 37 minutes. Today, I was hanging on running out of 3 minutes. And I'll always come back and I'll come back and I go, oh, bloody hell, I can't believe how hard that feels comparatively to what I used to do. But that was like, oh my God, when did I last run that time? 2012. So that's 12 years ago. The fact that I'm still running, I'm still competing, I'm still like working hard, but I have to be okay with my old self. I have to stop. I can't compare myself to my old self because I was a different person.
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, I say to the guys that I coach, if they have comparison issues, the boys aren't an issue with this. Obviously, it's more the girls. They compare themselves to Instagram people that they see on Instagram, the people they compete against, like blah, blah's doing this and she's done that and she's had three children. Why can't I do that? Blah, blah, blah. I think you've got to set your own personal goals, okay? So don't set them around other people's goals, or you need to align your efforts, basically. You do need to, if you're a person that compares yourself constantly, you've got to limit your social media, I'll be honest.
Well, that's what I was saying, because she was looking at the list of the numbers. And ultimately, if you're looking at this from a mindset or life coaching perspective, numbers are neutral. They don't mean anything. Numbers mean fuck all. Like 100 can mean one thing for one person and one thing for somebody else, right? So it doesn't mean anything. And when you actually zoom out and look at the numbers floating around all over the place, they mean fucking nothing. It's the value that you as a human and as an individual put into those numbers that matters. So when Holly talks about running a 6.5 minute mile, I ignore it because there's no way on God's green fucking earth I could run a 6.5 minute mile at the moment, right? So I'm like, whatever. That just is whatever. I'm not like, oh my God, I can't run a 6.5 minute mile, because I don't give a fuck. I don't put any value into those numbers. The value I put into the numbers are the numbers that I am chasing for myself. So if Holly says do a session with at 7:15 and I manage it, I think that's great because I know the value of the number for me, right? Looking at the other people's numbers, there's no fucking point, because the value in their numbers is different to the value in yours. And that, if you can zoom out when you're looking at other people's fucking digits on a sheet, is so fucking like powerful. It really is. It's the same with money. You know how some people have millions and millions of pounds, and you have like not millions of pounds. It's just numbers. And for them, it's not that valuable because they earn more, because they've inherited more, because they've got more. But for you, it is. But really, ultimately, numbers are neutral. And so I often say to people, it's not about things that you do. People don't remember you for the things you do. They remember you for how you make them feel. They're not going to remember you for your PB. They're not going to remember you for your numbers. You're not going to remember you for your numbers. You're going to remember you for the effort you put in. And that's kindness to yourself, isn't it?
Exactly. And that's why I know, I am aware that when I say something like that, like, oh, well, I was trying to run at 6 minute mile in 3 minutes, for a lot of people, they'll be like, fucking hell, I could never run that. But it's.
Yeah. And again, they start to compare themselves to you, which is ludicrous, because you represented your country in the Commonwealth fucking games.
Exactly. And so that's the whole thing. But I'm comparing myself to my old self, which is basically me to you, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
And it doesn't do anything apart from make you really angry and upset and sad. So you really have to focus on the progress that you're making now and celebrate how far you've come, okay, not how far someone else has come. And so, because this is the issue, because it can just lead to resentment as well.
Yeah.
And you really don't want that, you know. Yeah. And negativity, you know, you've got to think about yourself and your own self-worth. So I think you have to. And also, social media can also be dangerous in terms of the comparison, is that it can give you these unrealistic standards. So like, people think that I need to look this way, or I need to do this, or I need to, oh my God, they train 3 times a day and they cross train and they do all of that. And it's totally unrealistic. A lot of it isn't real, as we know.
It's complete, honestly, if you want to fuck it, me and Kirsty went for a walk the other day. We have got some severe investigations to do with what people put on their social media and what they are putting on their Strava. It doesn't add up. It's not true.
Exactly. And also, it's just really dangerous, because there are people out there who aren't strong enough to see what's right and what's wrong. And then they might go and do that stuff like, oh, no, they're doing double thresholds, I should do that. No, you shouldn't.
It's not going to make you fucking happy. Like, it's not going to. It's really interesting how people think these things will make them happy. Like, oh, they're doing it right. It's like,
that's the money thing as well, isn't
it? Yeah. Listen up, bitches. I just came third in a race. Like, I got the greatest result I could have possibly got in that race. I took 2 hours off my perceived unicorn time. I now am sat in a cottage in Devon, in a house that looks like something out the Holiday that I paid for with the money. That I paid for with the money that I got from the person who has signed my book to make a film of my life, right? I should be really fucking happy. Guess what? I feel fucking miserable because I get depressed. And it's like, you're allowed to feel miserable. And looking for these third party things, comparison, other people's numbers, your numbers, to make you happy is futile, because it won't make you happy. And that will just prove to your brain that you're incapable of being happy. Like, you're allowed to feel shit. Like, embrace it, accept it, ride it on out, right?
Oh God, but yeah.
I think a really good question to ask when you are looking at, well, I tell a lot of my athletes, review before consumption, review what you read, what you look at on social media, who you hang out with, and what you put in your mouth. And ask yourself, long term, is this going to help me or harm me? Long term, is this behavior of comparing myself or looking at these numbers and being a complete prick to myself going to help me or harm me? And if the answer is it's going to harm you, stop fucking doing it. Just stop doing it.
Turn it off.
Turn it off. Yeah. Turn it off. And if you find yourself going to look at numbers, go and look at them and see them as neutral. See them as fucking neutral. Like, just rise above them and just see them as things floating around, like shapes, because they are neutral. It means nothing to anybody. And this is your hobby. I keep saying this to people. It's your fucking hobby. You should be enjoying it. It's not your job. And it's not, there's not somebody looking at it going, excuse me, Gemma, you've actually been kicked out of running because you're not good enough to do running. We've looked at your numbers. You're not good enough.
You're
You're not
not running
running.
enough. You need to
You
be going
can't be
every day,
running.
morning, noon, and night.
Yes.
We'll say though as well, if you're that sort of person that does compare, like in a negative, it's a negativity thing. Because let's be honest, there are people out here, out there that, it's glass half full, glass half empty, that sort of thing. However, you can change some of this around. Remember, there's another way of looking at this as well, and you can look at it as comparison can also create some motivation. So you.
Yeah, I spoke to Damien about this and I was like, without comparison, there's no competition.
Exactly. So you could actually look at someone. So I've got a good friend, Debbie. I'll give her a shout out. I think I've mentioned her before on this podcast. She decided many years ago that she was going to change her mindset literally overnight. And I can't remember why, but she was just like, I'm going to look at every person's what they're doing, as long as they're not killing people, and running and doing what they're doing. And
On what? Strava?
no, just on social media and in
Right.
life, people I know, and I'm going to big them up. I'm going to say, I'm going to make you feel really good about it. And everything I ever did, she would come back and get, oh God, you're so inspiring, Holly. I love what you're doing. And she would do it. She just changed her mindset to be like incredibly positive and full of like love and gratitude for people. And that's the thing. So seeing someone achieve a goal, okay, and that could be any goal. It doesn't mean the thing is we're focusing on like winning or doing amazing times or getting PBs, but we should be looking at people of all backgrounds and all abilities and seeing them if they achieve their goal and their ambition, no matter what that is, that should be motivating and a good comparison and making you think, well, I can do that, I'm gonna do that. Like I look at what you did, the 200, and I'm thinking, wow, my God, I'm gonna have to do what Ali's done, maybe a bit longer, and I'm terrified. And you're saying, and you came third. I could easily not do that. Not I may not finish this race, but I'm looking at you and Emma the vet, who's insane. Who,
Fucking Emma, who poodles out
I
every time
know.
I see Emma. She's had a whole day's recovery before I've come in. So at the Arc of Attrition, she had a whole day, and then at the Winter Downs, she'd had a whole day. But she's just,
And she's just come in from like sticking a hand up a cow's ass or
yeah.
something like that,
I've got to get
and not
back now because I've got
slept.
a cesarean in 15 minutes that I need to be at. Right,
And I
okay.
also need to finish my master's.
Yeah, I just gotta go finish my master's. Okay.
She's just like on a different level. However, you can't imagine Emma. I can't imagine Emma comparing herself to anyone really,
Nope.
or worrying about what times she's doing and, stuff like that. So I she did say to me, I think last time I had a conversation with her, she was saying something about that's it was about that lab testing stuff that she's doing, like, and Damo's doing, I think. And she was like, oh, for the cast, mate, I'm not going to try and do her accent. I'll just butcher it. She was saying about, oh, she was, well, my VO2 is just crap. She's like, I can't run marathons, not fast. And, I can't do 5K. She goes, I'm nothing like you to me. And I'm like, wow, she's saying that to me. But I'm like, how the fuck do you run so fast over 200 miles, 100 miles? Like the arc, like I said, she'd had a shower and had a dinner and stuff by the time I got in. I'd probably had a nap,
I
And then she's saying like, oh, you're way faster than me. And I'm like, but this is the thing. It's comparison. Comparison, you can't compare. You can't compare, especially ultras and trails and stuff like that. That's what's so great
so
about
much
it.
shit goes wrong in ultras that's
Can't.
completely out of your control. The third party shit that goes on is that's
Different
completely out of your
weather, different
control.
conditions underfoot, different what you know. You, one
Your
day.
fucking period coming and going.
Yeah, I know, but that's well. It's a long race when you get your period in your race and it finishes.
I'm not even supposed to have periods anymore, but mine decided to turn up.
Brilliant, thanks.
Yeah.
In a marathon, that doesn't happen. You get it and you're stuck with it for a few hours and it's over. But but you're in a crop top and knickers in a marathon if you're an elite runner, and you get your period that morning, which happened to me. And when I used to get my periods, I used to feel like I'd eaten 13 roast dinners. So you imagine exposing your body in a race. It's the that's a big another conversation I have got to say about why do we sort of make we don't make, but you get your kit for internationals and it's a pair of knickers and a crop top. We
Interesting.
don't
They
give
don't make
that to
men wear
men.
that, do they? They don't make men run topless, do they? So
No.
it can't be about sweat or anything
No,
else.
exactly. And if you've got your period that morning, it's really not good. Anyway,
But
that's
that's the
another.
thing. It's when I went out a few months ago, I went out on the Pennine Way with like nine of the girls that are doing spine. So it was like Mel Sykes, Robbie Cassidy, Lucy Gossage, Hannah Rickman, Sam
Pile of shit
Lasseur.
runners then, yeah.
Awful people. And then Emma Stewart turned up for a day. When Emma Stewart turned up, it was like Princess Diana had just risen from the dead. Like literally, it was like, oh, Emma's here. All of us were, Emma's here, Emma's here, Emma's here. And it was like whispering through. Bearing in mind that almost all of those women are podium placing runners. Kirsty was there, like, and but the thing is, there was no the comparison on those 3 days wasn't there. It was like everybody was on an equal playing field because we're all just having a really good time. And we were all look and we all know that we're good at different stuff. But there was no comparison. It was just support. All there was support. And it was like your friend Debs, like it was
Yeah.
just like everyone was like, oh wow, that was an amazing result. That was brilliant. And then hearing their insecurities about like Robin talking about how she felt after Dragon's Back and like Lucy talking about how she felt after the spine, like all of these insecurities coming out, and it just makes you go, everybody feels this way. But Gemma and anyone else that does this comparison thing, what is the long-term gain of you doing this yourself? Like you're just decreasing your confidence and you're just not enjoying your hobby. So look at it, take those numbers and just throw them up into the air. They could be any number and it doesn't matter. Look at that 200 and tell me that you don't think Kevin Munt, 76, who ran that 200 miles in 80 whatever hours, isn't inspiring. Tell me you don't think Sean Dyer, who the last 100 miles took Sean 60 hours because his feet were so fucked, yet he finished it.
Is he the
Tell me
guy that
that's,
had the elf at the ears that you ran with? Yeah.
Tell me that's not inspiring. Like he was absolutely broken. He had to go to A&E and have his feet bandaged afterwards, which I think is fucking stupid and he knows it. But
He finished.
he finished 60 hours for the last 100 miles. He was running 30 or walking 30-minute miles. That to
That'll be in his
me,
brain now. That will be massive, an amazing thing now. So anything else he does, that's what I'm saying.
it will never be that hard.
It will never be that hard. And that's why I say to people in terms of like DNF racing. And I'm not dissing people, but unless something's fallen off or you're bleeding out your bum hole or something, I think you if you can get it done within the cutoff, so you're not going to hurt yourself, that will really be amazing. It will really make such a difference. There's so many very good elite runners that still have finished. I was listening to one the other day. I think it was Leadville or whatever. Some of them that have finished and they've grinded it out. And a lot of the elites may drop out, but once you start dropping out, it's very easy to do that every time.
There's a
But
fucking, like, some people just do it because they don't want it on their record, don't they? Which I think is pathetic.
exactly. And then you have to think about like, why are you doing this? What is the reason why you're doing this? But now, I want to say Danny Dyer, Sean
Surely, yeah.
will know that what he's done, although he would have been very painful. He can do it. He can do it. So he can be out there that long. And the same with you. You know that you can finish a race that distance actually very strongly and recover within a week.
Well, the worst thing about that race is it's led me down the this is normal path. 200 are normal.
Yeah, what's
It's fine,
next?
fine. Well, it's just,
Don't ask.
this morning Damien was talking about the spine, the Northern Challenger, the summer. We were looking at dates and stuff, and he was like, well, that's basically 200. I'm like, no, it's not. It's 168, it's easy. He's like, don't ever say that. And I'm like, oh fuck, what am I doing? Like, what am I doing? Like, it's becoming normal. Anyway, we need to get into some correspondence, or else we're never gonna get any correspondence. Numero one. Nikki. Nikki knew. Listen to this. Listen to this, Holly.
Oh God.
Hi, Ali and Co. Sorry, mine is not an amazingly interesting or novel situation, says Nikki, but here it is. I have been very, very consistent in the last couple of years of not training enough and also DNFing several ultras. Grr. This is largely, I'm sure, due to my roller coaster motivation, in inverted commas. I honestly have no reason to not go out and run, as I do generally have time and the ability to find time. I really enjoy running, mainly in the woods, which I live right next to, and yet I let so many opportunities pass. I do get bursts of motivation, but after too many disappointing performances at events that I love to do, I'm determined to be more consistent in the right way so that I can actually turn up on the day and enjoy the challenge rather than chasing the cutoffs, often unsuccessfully. Any useful words of advice greatly appreciated, Nick.
I've got
Go on,
one.
Holly.
Get a coach.
Oh my God. I replied to that message and I just wrote, get a coach.
High five.
Okay.
Yeah, just get a coach. Doesn't have to be a flashy one. Doesn't have to be, I don't know, could be, but I think an actual person. And it's just accountability. And I think that's already listening to Gemma's little voice note that we should listen to earlier. The reason why she's even doing her three runs a week is because she's got some accountability, because she knows she's got to leave a
She
voice note.
gotta leave a voice note for us.
Yes, exactly. So I think that, and then the other thing I would say as well is Because it's like, why aren't you doing it then? If you like doing it, if you've got some woods next to you, maybe that you are cutting, you're biting off too much than you can chew. So why not just say, I'm actually going to go out and do a 10-minute run or a 15-minute run every
Because
other day.
that's okay, everybody. You don't have
But
to do an
yeah.
hour.
No, you don't have to do, just go out and do a mile and a half or something. Do you know what's really interesting? I'm doing further education, my coaching. I'm actually really loving it. I'm actually doing part of the scholar program with Steve Magnus, if you know who he is.
Are you?
So look out.
Well, yeah, look out for who may be one of our interviewees at some point in the future.
Oh.
Big, big fan. I'm part of the growth equation.
Okay. So I'm doing some work doing my scholar with him. And part of that we go through people's very good mainly American well no, actually there's all sorts of training logs. And yeah, it's amazing. Like the different I mean I coach endurance athletes, but there's a lot of sprinters, everything that I'm learning about, and how a lot of and college athletes will go out and do 10, 15 minutes in the morning. Shake out run.
Nice. Oh,
I know.
nice.
And then they do their track session later. I mean, you wouldn't get out of bed for that. I know that. But.
I think I actually, honestly, the other day when I went for that 4 miler, I was like, I'll just do an hour. And it wasn't an hour, it was 40 minutes. Like, 'cause it was 45 minutes. So I was like, whew, that's gone past quick because I was having such a nice time. But it was like, well, I wasn't like, I'm going to do an hour. I was like, I've done 45 minutes. That's 4 miles. That's all I want to do. And then I stopped. And it was actually really, really nice. And that
5K
just,
runs are totally fine. You realize that, don't you?
yeah, I know they are. And they're actually quite refreshing. They're just
That's what I
like a
do.
little cold dip, aren't they?
I'll do a supplementary. If I need to get somewhere, I'll just do a 5K little run. It's fine. See it
It's a little delightful dip. But I did say to Nikki, and I've actually had Nikki at one of my workshops, you need a coach. He needs accountability is what he needs. And some of us do need accountability. And Gemma's voice note, I'm super proud of her because she is now being consistent. And that doesn't mean she has to do everything I've written down, but it means she is showing up 3 times a week. And then she's like, actually, I'm gonna put some sleep over the top of this because I've had a really long week at work. I know she's not gonna shovel in the miles next week. She's just gonna do again the 20 miles that's on the plan. But she's getting there, getting into that mindset of I don't have to do this stuff. I'm not gonna make myself feel guilty. Nikki, go out for like literally what Holly just said, 15 minutes, 10 minutes. Because by the time you're out there in your kit, you're like, oh, do you know what? Fuck it. Like I might as well do an hour because there's no point in going back in this kit. I swear to God, you'll want to do more, won't you? And that like wanting to do more, I think that is super important.
Yeah, definitely. I think getting some accountability, training somewhere lovely, but it sounds like you've got somewhere lovely to go. And maybe even just do one run a week if you've got a friend that you can run with, or get a dog.
He's got two Dalmatians.
There
He's
you
got no
go.
excuse. He's got two Dalmatians. People hates them. Covered in eyes, Holly. You can't trust a Dalmatian. They're covered in eyes.
Especially Lem's got a big body.
The
No.
other thing is, Nikki, don't say that you want to go and do these events. If you want to go and do these events, and I know what you're talking about, he's talking about Centurion 50s. Go and behave like a person that finishes those Centurion 50s. Go and actually behave like one. And the person that finishes those 50s takes it seriously to the point where they're like, I need to run at a certain pace for a certain amount of time. I'm going to get a coach. It's not expensive. The greatest investment anyone listening to this podcast can make is in their mind or their body for a coach or a therapist. What else is there to spend your fucking money on? There isn't anything else.
Mince pies.
Yeah, I hate mince pies.
What?
Yeah. And that's the
There you
last
go.
podcast me and Holly did together.
Signing out.
Question, last question, maybe. I don't know. Hi, Ali. First off, great new show. Thanks. I love Holly. He hasn't said that, but I'll put it in anyway. Got a
Love you.
question.
Love you.
I'm running a solo 50 miler from Sheffield to Manchester in mid 2025. I started training recently and I'm okay with the plan, miles, etc. But something I've never done is duh, 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 strength training. I started running at school in cross country, ran for my school and county, then moved on to road running. I'm now 53, and in the last few years, I've been running trails. I don't enter races, I just do it for my own little adventures. I think it's harder in many ways. There's no aid stations, etc. So I have to plan, which is key, and I love it. But I've never run more than 37 miles. So to give myself the best chance, I thought I'd start strength training. But where do you start? Never been to a gym, really. I've run past a few, and to me, they seem a little intimidating, even though I'm old and ugly enough to know better. I could do a home workout, but there's about 6 million YouTube videos. I don't know which one to do. So just wondering if you could help might be good talking point for the show. Actually, maybe you don't know because you do strength as part of your coaching. How many fucking people ask me about strength and they are stuck in a quagmire of YouTube videos?
Yeah, I
And
know.
I do CrossFit, I do Hydrox, I do HIIT, I do this, so I'm doing strength training. And it's like, no, you're not. You're doing Hydrox or CrossFit or whatever it is.
Or you're doing conditioning, you're not doing strength.
Yeah.
I hate the word strength and conditioning. No, so yeah, a really good question. And actually, have you got his email, or is it Instagram?
It's Instagram. It's Bold Man Running, but I can get his
I'll
email.
send him how to lift and run e-guide anyway, because that's a really good starting point. I'll send that to him. But I would say it's all very, yeah, you can do stuff at home. The only thing I'd say about doing stuff at home that people don't realize is if you're doing body weight, or you've got like just the same weight, you can't progress. The only thing you can do is do more volume and more
What
volume.
about if you got fatter so that your body weight was higher?
Yeah, could you pull ups?
Yeah.
They get really hard the more
With
weight
a
you.
tire wrapped around your waist.
Yeah, well, that's what Pete does anyway, show off. He's got a belt where he puts like the weight
Yeah,
discs on.
when I do reverses at the gym, sometimes they make me do that, and it's a bit like, and the weights dangle between your legs, so you feel like you're
Yeah,
in some sort of
it's
weird Netflix
massive. Yeah,
series. Yeah.
the only thing with, I would say, that doing stuff at home or where you don't have any, you can't progress. So the only way people progress is they do more volumes, they do more press ups or whatever. But by doing stuff like that, more volume just creates more fatigue, and therefore then you can't run. And this is the issue, that's why we coach concurrently. So we do all our training. I do the running side of it. Pete does the strength, and we do it, so it works together. You can do strength and you can do running, but sometimes if you have two separate coaches and they're not talking to each other, you could get too much of one thing or not enough of another, or too much of everything, and then that causes a lot of fatigue and potentially injury or illness. And therefore, we're here. This is a running show. People want to run. People want to do strength to supplement their running, to stop them from getting injured, make them look good, and make them stronger and able to finish a race.
And fucking recover quicker, be able to like bounce back. Yeah.
And also, look, I would say, like, for all of us over the age of 40 or late 30s, over 40s, our bone density is decreasing rapidly, unfortunately. And by strength training is the only thing that you're going to be able to do, and eating plenty of protein that will hopefully stop the acceleration. So, best advice is, I'll send in the e-guide, but I would say, unfortunately, you probably are going to have to venture into a gym at some point. But you can go around and you can look at gyms. You don't have to go to the nearest gym or the gym that's Joe Bloggs tells you to go to. And I will say, it's best to book a session with a good PT if you can, to show you the correct form and what you should be doing. You shouldn't have to go into a gym and do loads. You don't need to do loads of strength training, do you, Ali?
No, I do once a week.
Exactly.
Fucking listen up, bitches. I literally did once a week and it's completely changed me as a runner.
I'm just going to move my laptop into another room in a minute because someone's just come in. Yeah, so I would do, you don't need to do an awful lot. You don't need to do lots of volume. You can be in and out of the gym in 30, 40 minutes. Bish, bash, bosh, done. But see a proper strength, a decent coach. And I will say, actually, I'm not saying do it, but CrossFit coaches are some of the best coaches for form.
They are, but remember that with CrossFit, they'll make you do like a
Don't do
fucking
CrossFit though.
circuit, and that's different.
Which is high
Just
intensity, which is the track
give us your
session.
top five exercises you think someone that doesn't know what the fuck they're doing to start off with in a strength and conditioning arena.
Okay, so you want to be doing, if you're focusing on lower body and core, I would be looking at squats, single
Ooh.
leg deadlifts. If you've got a back extension machine, fantastic as well. Anything which is working your glutes, hamstring, quads, and your core.
Nice. Low
And
rep, high
then
weight.
you can do some gun work like
Yeah, I'm
that.
doing that. My New Year's is to get these bad boys. I'm showing my arms, which look like flappy or bingo wings, to have some sort of. I was thinking about getting like muscles tattooed on them, like shading, so I didn't have to do any work. But actually, I'm going
Could
to
do
do
that with
some
your
upper body work.
abs, actually.
Yeah. Like draw it on like Sharpie, like Gary House does,
Yeah, I love
yeah,
that.
to make it look amazing.
Have you not
Just
got your
quickly.
abs then? Is that not real?
No, it isn't real. Oh God, I think I've just busted a myth.
Shit.
I've got one more just on the strength thing, which I'd really like you to answer, and then I'll let you go. This is anonymous, this person. Strength training consistency from a coach's perspective. So this is from a coach, right? A running coach.
Okay.
So I'm new to this coaching stuff. I'm on a steep learning curve. I know from personal experience how important it is to me, and I do now prioritize it. But when choosing strength over a run when you're busy, how do you do this? I know it's not strictly on topic, but it'd be interesting to hear how all of you guys, as coaches with buckets of experience, handle this one. So that's someone that's saying when they have an athlete who is like, and I get this, I haven't got time this week.
I
Do
would
I
time.
prioritize strength or do I prioritize the run? In your book, in your like your opinion, in order of importance, what are the top three things to prioritize, do you think, if you're training for something? Or is it different depending on what you're training for?
Are you talking about in terms of what you should prioritize in the gym
No,
or
prioritize like in your life. You've got to do, say, you've got to do
no?
four runs a week, a long run and strength, and you've got to, something's got to give. Which one of those things do you think should give? What's the priority?
Oh, well, I would get rid of an easy run, do your strength. You've got to include your speed work. Don't get rid of that. So you need to, it's difficult, isn't it? Because if you're coaching someone, it's different if someone says, I don't have time, but then you look at what they actually do and you say, actually, you have got time. It depends on what your motivation is. Like, if you're, like, for me, it's non-negotiable strength because if I stop doing strength work, then I'll end up stop running because I won't be able to run because I'll get an injury or a niggle or something will go wrong. So it is non-negotiable for me to do strength work. Now, that can be one session a week. And like I said, that could be 30 minutes. I don't believe that someone can't do 30 minutes somewhere. The issue I think what a lot of people have, and I do get this, is if your gym is like, you've got to get in your car and you've got to drive to a gym, and it's like, I really don't have the time for that. You have to maybe combine that with something like, so do a run or a cross trainer or something at the gym, so it's part of the whole thing. But honestly, if you're saying that you haven't got time to do strength work, it's probably because the strength work you're doing is wrong. It's probably because you're spending far too much time doing it, or you're getting tired or fatigued from it. You should come away from a strength session. You shouldn't have DOMS unless you've just started. You will get a bit of DOMS, but you shouldn't come away from a strength session massively fatigued, well, fatigued and sore. So therefore, you need to look at what you're actually doing in the gym. But in terms of priorities, I would. It's difficult. If you're doing like three runs a week, what do you take out there?
A run. Like, I see strength now, whereas before I was like, oh, whatever, this is just bullshit. But now I'm like, I
Non-negotiable then,
see it
isn't
as
it?
not, yeah. So,
Non-negotiable.
you know, where Holly was talking about stacking bricks, she was talking about the Roach stacking bricks model, where every time you go out, you stack another brick. I see the strength as the foundation layer of all the running. There's no point in doing the running if you're not doing the strength, in my opinion. There's just no point. You're building this really solid foundation on which to put the rest of the stuff on. And once you start to see it like that, you'll never fucking miss a session. Like, you just won't. And even if you can't get to the gym, it doesn't matter. You can do that shit at home. Once you've been to the gym for a year, you know what you're doing. So you're like, oh, okay, I'm going to pick up this massive tin of fucking, this big bottle of water, and I'm going to use that to do my single leg deadlift. So I'm going to use that to do this. So you can actually work it out at home. Like, the stuff Pete's given me for this week, I can do at home. Easy peasy. And the other thing is, I have a gym which has a sauna and a steam room in it. So, and I use that as recovery and as a treat. So there's another thing hanging for me, like, oh, go and do that, and then you can get the sauna. So yeah, there's lots of ways. And I understand from a busy parent, carer,
I get
whatever
that.
perspective, but you might as well start doing one strength session and one run a week and leave it as that, and then build the runs up rather than lose the strength session, I think.
I genuinely think that most people, and this is where the issue is, and it was my issue, is I gave up strength because I thought it didn't work for me. And it was purely because I was just doing it wrong. I was doing far too much. I was doing far too much volume. And I was getting sore from it. So therefore I couldn't do my session the next day. I couldn't even run the next day because my adductors hurt.
Oh,
You
that's
know? And
so
that
bad.
and people think, oh yeah, but you're lifting heavy, you're gonna be really sore. No, you're not. You don't get sore after you've built up the, you don't, and when I say heavy, this is all relative. Again, comparison. I may squat 70 kilos, some of my squat 30, but that's what their 90% is. But you don't do tons and tons of volume. The people that keep doing like five sets of 12 or something, it's ridiculous.
It is
And you're not,
ludicrous.
it's ludicrous. You're not going to get strong. You're just going to get sore and tired. And that's why CrossFit is great for people, but it's not great if you're trying to run as well. Because if you do three CrossFit sessions a week, that's like doing three track sessions a week. Then if you go and do a track session on top of that or a tempo session, I will tell you after 4 to 6 weeks, you're going to be fried.
That's the thing. Like, and I do have a lot of athletes that come to me and they're like, well, I do CrossFit 4 times a week. And I'm like, well, you're gonna have to fucking cut it down to once a week. And they don't like it. Because you can't do it all, right? Okay, good work, everybody. Thanks. That was a very, very informative episode. I'm sure people are going to be fascinated by it when they listen to it on
I
Saturday.
know. They're going to be motivated. They're going to be comparing themselves to.
You
Sorry.
don't compare yourself to Holly. She's Or me, because we've both got something wrong with us.
We're both psychologically challenged.
Yeah. And also, can I just also add that we've both been doing what we've been doing for a very fucking long time.
Oh, I mean, this is the thing, and that's the thing. Like, our priorities, it may be sad, but our priorities are running and lifting and our dogs, and
It's our job.
it's our
Our
job. But
fucking job.
also, it's like, how many times do you see people? You probably don't. I still see people go, "You still running?" I'm like, please, why are you asking me that? I will run until the day I die, even if it's like 800 meters.
The other
Please don't
day,
ask
right?
me.
The
It's so stupid.
other day, I went to see my mum because it's Christmas, so you know the annual visit. And
Yeah.
I had my dinner, and she made me a massive dinner, and I had eight portions because I'm still in calorie deficit, and I will be for the next 6 months. And I was like, right, I was like, I've got to go. I said, I love you. I said, I'll be back in an hour. I just got to go because I've got to have a run. I want to run in the
Where are you
daylight.
going?
She went, are you going to be okay running after that food? I was like, yeah,
I
I'll
had
be fine.
Domino's the other day.
Yeah, I can literally run along eating a Domino's. Well, she's like, "Oh, don't get a tummy ache." Like, no, it's gonna be okay. So don't, yeah, don't be doing that shenanigans. Happy Christmas! Have a nice
Ho,
celebration. I'm going to have a shower, which is exciting. Do Pete's Nana exercises he's giving me to do. I'm gonna
oh,
take.
it's this little stretchy. See how? No, he. You have to send him the results, though. Remember?
I'm not sending him any videos. Not
No, don't
today.
send it.
Oh, not today.
We've got some
And
new
the.
clients, and we've had some new videos in, which is always exciting. I love getting videos from new clients. Brilliant.
Why? Because they're funny.
They're really funny, yeah. Because some people, like, there's a lot of this.
I edit mine. I edit
Or
that bit
the
out.
boys, it's always this.
Oh, brilliant. Crotch shot.
Crop shots and like,
Instead of.
oh, hang on a minute.
And then tomorrow, I'm going to go for a run along from Beer Head to Branscombe along the cliffs and back again. My
Lush.
Christmas Day run.
And we're going to take a
Nice.
picture of you between Christmas and New Year.
Right, you have to come. You have to come on the 28th. I'm making like some really nice food. There's loads of room.
They're
It's
going to be
so
cheese
nice.
balls.
Yes, it's going to be cheese footballs. There's going to be everything. It's going to be so good. Damien's going to be here. Lorna's going to be here. My running friends are going to be
Pickle's going
here.
to be here.
Pie's going to be here. She's got some presents for Lem Lem. So you're more than welcome. And it'll be really nice. We'll all have a lovely time. All right?
All right.
All right. I love you. I'll see you
Love
in a
you.
few weeks. Happy Christmas, everyone.
Bye,
Bye.
everyone.